Now, I want to stop there for a minute so that you can see three basic trends that we've identified in the world post-September 11th and pre-September 11th. And I want to talk a little bit about September 11th itself. You have heard the statements in May when all these embarrassing revelations came out about the FBI memoranda from Phoenix, Arizona, about terrorists taking flight training lessons and the special briefing that President Bush got at his Crawford, Texas ranch in August that Osama bin Laden might be planning to hijack airliners. And of course, you have to think, never in the history of terrorist hijackings has the hijacker ever had any interest in learning how to fly an airplane. He had the pilot to do that. And the FBI report and others who were trying to brush over those anomalies came back and said, well, you know, they were learning how to crop dust. And, you know, they might have been trying to spread disease. And of course, I have a very clear question for them, which is, when was the last time anybody ever saw anybody crop dusting in a Boeing 767? It doesn't happen. We had the revelations from Minneapolis. A brave woman, Colleen Rowley, the special agent who was the legal officer running legal affairs for the Minneapolis field office. They had a major investigation of Zacharias Moussaoui, the so-called 20th hijacker. And that was a major scandal which nobody has really picked up the ball and run with, in that the FBI agents, and this was covered actually by Time and Newsweek, but nobody made an issue out of it, but it was certainly covered by Colleen Rowley in her 13-page letter to FBI Director Robert Mueller. And I encourage everybody to go read it. It's still up on the Time and Newsweek websites. But she talks about how the agents in Minneapolis were desperate. They were frantic. They were speculating in their notes that Osama bin Laden was going to hijack an airplane and crash it into the World Trade Center. At one point in the footnote, she mentions that the FBI agents were so frustrated because FBI headquarters had frustrated their investigation, blocked them, thwarted them, that they thought bin Laden had a mole in the FBI. Now, what's interesting if you read Rowley's memorandum is a couple of things. First of all, she says, there was one supervisory special agent at the FBI's SIOC, which I believe stands for Special Intelligence Operations Center, who was like the choke point for all major terrorist investigations. And this was the guy to whom she sent her requests for search warrants. She sent her affidavits. She sent her requests to do all kinds of things. And this was one man who blocked everything that she was done. And you read through her memorandum closely, and the adjectives and the verbs that she uses to describe what happened at headquarters, where she uses words like deliberately thwart, obstruct, threaten, harass, intimidate, suppress, willfully suppress. There was another FBI agent, Robert Wright, in Chicago, who had a tearful press conference at the National Press Club at about the same time, who was tracking the money aspects of 9/11. And he documented clearly how he had been punished, he had been retaliated against, and every word that these special agents used to describe what was done are words describing deliberate and willful actions. Now, I've had some critics out there, people who want to poo-poo the truth about 9/11, and they say, oh, it's impossible to have a conspiracy this large that would have involved all of these agencies. It's nonsense. You could never have coordinated this. And I use the Rowley memo as a classic example on how it could be done. You only need a few people in very key positions to stop all the investigations. And that's the way it's always worked. You don't need thousands of people in the FBI. You need one guy at FBI headquarters who can stop any investigation that's getting too close to the attacks that you want to have succeed. And what did Rowley say about this guy in her memorandum? She noted in her missive to the FBI director that right after September 11th, the special agent who had blocked the investigation into Moussaoui prevented her from getting into Moussaoui's laptop computer that could have prevented the attacks. The guy was promoted. Now, as all these revelations started to come out, the Bush administration stood up. President Bush said, we had no idea that aircraft would be used as weapons. Ari Fleischer, the president's press secretary, got up and said, we did not have any idea that aircraft would be used as weapons. And Condoleezza Rice, you know, Miss Kazakhstan of Chevron Oil, got up and said, there was no way we had any clue that aircraft would be used as weapons. And I would come back with two small points. One, if that's the case, why did the Pentagon, from October 24 through 26 of 2000, stage a mass emergency drill and response for the scenario of a hijacked airliner being crashed into the Pentagon? If the administration had absolutely no idea that hijacked aircraft could be used as weapons to attack people, Why then, at the G8 summit in Genoa, Italy, in July of 2001, just 2 months before the attacks, was all of the airspace closed down? Was the G8 summit ringed with anti-aircraft guns? And why did the Los Angeles Times report that Egypt and Italian authorities had been aware that Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups were planning on hijacking aircraft and crashing them in to the G8 conference to kill President Bush? Do they think that we're that stupid to believe a lie that they had no idea that aircraft were going to be used as weapons? If that's the case, then why did Attorney General John Ashcroft stop flying on commercial airliners just 10 days to 2 weeks before the attacks? Here we reach a point where what we're dealing with is not so much evidence, but mental health. Your mental health, or the mental health of anybody who hears this and still believes that the government is telling them the truth. Patently, they are not. The government would also say, gee, we had no way of knowing, and we have shown it from the wilderness, and it's in the old Lucy timeline, but let me just give you a few examples out of many. A very respected paper in Germany, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, FAZ as they call it, reported on September the 12th that German intelligence, using a highly sophisticated program called Echelon, which eavesdrops on satellite, cell phone communications, all kinds of communications, had developed information, very strong information, from Al-Qaeda sources that aircraft were going to be hijacked and used as weapons to attack important symbols of American and Israeli culture. And this information was referred by Germany's intelligence service, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, BND, directly to CIA. But there's another story out of Germany from the news service online, i.e., and this is on my website, you can see the original story. And that story says that there was an Iranian man in jail in Germany who was making repeated calls to the U.S. Secret Service. Now, that's the way they translate intelligence agencies in Europe. They weren't talking about the Secret Service that we know, but that's a generic term. Warning of imminent attacks on the World Trade Center in the week of September the 9th. That's specific. German police confirmed the phone call. Wouldn't say when the phone calls were made, but they were certainly made before the attacks. Then we look at Russia. Pravda had a story. They wrote a story like 2 or 3 days after the attacks, a very long detailed story that says that in August, a special emissary had been sent from Russian intelligence directly to the CIA with detailed information on the hijackers describing the plan of attack. Russian President Vladimir Putin went on NBC, I think on the 13th of September, and said that he had ordered, President Bush warned, in the strongest possible terms of an imminent attack. Congress just came back the other day. They had the super secret meeting, the closed door hearings on 9/11 from the intelligence committees, and they looked at 9/11. They said the problem was that nobody had enough money. You believe that? They want to throw more money at these guys. They already get $35 billion a year. Of course, those hearings were all in secret. Can you believe that nobody was paying attention to any of this? Of course not. There are dozens and dozens of cases where direct information was received.